Me in your Bibles to Joshua chapter number 3. Joshua chapter number 3. If you need you a Bible, there should be some in the pew. If you don't have one, that's okay. We like to supply them too. Amen. We are also not opposed. Now, I will tell you this. If you pull out your phone to look up your Bible, you might find that you have no internet service in the building. That might be or may not be by design. Listen, I am not opposed to a digital Bible. You okay? Don't throw nothing at me. We say, oh no, we've got to have a paper Bible. Well, what did they do in the Bible days? When not everybody had a copy of the Word of God. And not everybody had the Scriptures. They read them. And they cared enough to memorize them. Thy word have I hid in my heart, is what King David said, that I might not sin against thee. Not thy word have I have in pages that I can go to any time that life gets stressful, but not hide it in my word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee, is what old David wrote. See, we're in a day. I talked this with Brother Todd, our youth pastor, not long ago. We were talking about there's a little bit of a shift happening in society. I don't know if you've picked up on it yet or not, but everybody has one of these on their person. And on that, they can be used for bad, but they can also be used for good. And there are Bible apps. There are free Bible apps. F-R-E-E. We Baptists, we love free. There are free Bible apps on there. You can download the Bible in a second. And you can even have reminders on your phone that will come up and on your lock screen that'll post scripture there. I'm saying all this to get to a point. We have no reason in 2026 to be ignorant of the Word of God. Absolutely no reason. We have it both in paper form and in digital form. And thank God for those of you that have memorized it. I want to challenge you this year. If you haven't memorized any scripture in quite some time, now I'll say this, it gets harder the older you get to memorize scripture. It gets so much harder. But I want to encourage you, don't start off saying, well, I'm going to memorize the entire book of John. Let's not be too ambitious. But maybe pick John 3:16. I'm going to memorize that in the month of January. I'm going to memorize John 3:16. Or maybe you started out this year and you got a goal of reading the Bible. Well, you're at the right place for Gateway because we started our chronological reading of the Word of God again. And that started back on January 1st. And so if you're behind, that's okay too. We'll certainly get that in your hand. And it's been emailed out. The plan's been emailed out. It's posted to our Facebook page. We want to make sure that we get the Word of God exalted in your life. Okay, there's all my introduction for 2026. Let's read the Bible. Church, I got my glasses today. Brother Terry, I used to not need these. My friend Brother Terry Marbot is here and his sweet wife, Miss Vicky. And Brother Terry told me when I come in the door, he said, you've grown. You growing up, boy. And I thought, I'm growing old. Joshua chapter 3, verse number 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. I need to stop right there and tell you something. We're talking about passing over this river going into Jordan or going across Jordan headed to the Canaan land. They've been wandering, but now they're going to head over. So before they pass over, verse number 2. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host and they commanded the people saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. for you have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help this morning. God, I pray that you would help me physically as I stand here to preach. I pray that you would help my breathing, my lungs. God, I pray that you would help my rib. I pray, Lord, that you would take away the pain there. I pray, Lord, that you would just help and touch me physically, that I may preach your word in your power and in your ability. I pray, God, that you would help in our church and our people that are here. God, I pray for these sweet people who have came in here. They've never been here before. God, I pray that you would help them. You would bless them. I know you already have, Lord, through the music. I pray, God, that you would help me as I stand to preach to be a blessing and encouragement and a help to them. Lord, give us what we stand in need of. Forgive me, Father, of my many sins, shortcomings, where I have failed you. Let me be pure and holy before you. It's in Jesus' lovely name that I pray. Amen. In Joshua chapter number 3, verse number 4 is where I want to take our text verse from. The Bible says, yet there shall be a space between you and it, talking about the Ark of the Covenant, about 2,000 cubits by measure. That's about a half of a mile, a little over a half a mile is 2,000 cubits. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. And watch what God said to the Hebrews via Joshua, for you have not passed this way heretofore. The Hebrews were coming out of 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. 40 years. Two generations had passed of wandering around and just pretty much turning circles. There are some maps that show where they may have went and how they went out of Egypt, and God had promised them that he'd bring them out of Egypt. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. But they had wandered for 40 years. And in that 40-year time period, God had provided them food every single day of their life. God had given them every single need that they had need of. God had given them all of their needs had been supplied. For 40 years, God had done this, and yet they had wandered around and around after the generations was changing over and one generation was dying off, which they had to die off before they could go into the promised land because of unbelief. And I realize I'm giving you a quick history of Israel right there. But there had been a change, excuse me, in leadership from Moses to Joshua. Generational transitions were happening. Things were shifting. Responsibilities were being transferred. Everything was different. Everything was new and unknown to these Hebrew people in that day and time. Yet as he is today, God is still in control. Amen? Previously, they had followed the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. But God had now given instructions to Joshua to put the Ark of the Covenant out in front of them. And as the Ark went, the Israelites would follow about a half mile back. And while there were a few more battles that they would go through and things that they would face, eventually God would lead them through the promise or to the promised land. Now, here's the promise that God made to Israel. Exodus chapter number 3, verses 7 and 8. You don't have to turn there, but you can jot it down, those of you that's taking notes. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. God had promised the Hebrews deliverance, but because of their own complaint and their own disobedience, they wandered for 40 long years in the wilderness. I want to say this. There are a lot of people who do not grow spiritually because of complaint and disobedience. Joshua would now lead them to a place that they had never been before. God had told Joshua, "You have not passed this way heretofore." I see a few things that I would like to look at before I move on too much further. First one is that being obedient to God is always honored by God. Anytime that you're obedient and you do what God wants you to do and what God wants you to do in your life, you find that God puts His blessings on what you're doing. See, we pray, "God bless what I'm doing," rather than, "God lead me in the direction that You'd have me to go and do what You would have me to do." God, number two, God gives leadership the wisdom to lead the congregation. We live in a day and a time where leadership is encouraged, or where it's encouraged to question and to belittle leadership, especially church leadership. And that's a dangerous place to be. Listen, I believe that we ought to have accountability in the church. Somebody say amen right there. I believe we ought to be held accountable. And there ought not be any pastor that is unwilling to take a question, a sincere question from any church member. Please understand that I'm not preaching against that. But when God calls a pastor to a church, God puts him there to be the spiritual leader of that church. And that's what God expects out of him. And that's what He holds him accountable for. See, there's something, church, I love you and I am grateful for Gateway Baptist Church, but there will come a day where I will stand in front of God and I will give an account for every word I said in this pulpit, every idle word I said out of the pulpit, amen, and every spiritual decision that I led you through. And so with that in mind and with eternity in mind, I take it very seriously that God has called me and placed me in a position of leadership to lead the church in the direction that God would have the church to go. There are people that help us. Thank God for men and women that help us. I appreciate Brother Todd, Brother Canaan. Brother Canaan is our administrative pastor. He handles most, if not all, of the administrative work around here. And if you don't think that's a big job, well, shadow him for a day. Amen. Brother Todd looks after our youth and makes sure that they're taken care of and make sure that we have things going and they keep things on the agenda list and he counsels with them spiritually and works with them. And I thank God for men that help. And then we have our Sunday school teachers that help and our deacons that help, and thank God for that. But none of you guys will stand before God and give an account for Gateway and the decisions that are made quite like He will for Pastor Josh Agin. Amen. And I am aware of what God will do with me and how He will treat me with what I have. Hope I said that right. Some of y'all thinking, "Man, preacher, I done brought a visitor this morning. You going off the rails." Here's another thing. When you put God first, He will lead you to the promised land. Now, let me say this concerning the promised land. There is the physical promised land, the place called heaven. Thank God for that. But there are also spiritual promised lands that we can get to if we will put God first in our life. The Bible says in the book of, I believe it's 1st or 2nd Corinthians, "I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man what God has in store for those that love Him." And we have always applied that to a physical place called heaven. But there are spiritual places that you have not made it to yet. There is spiritual understanding. There is spiritual growth that you can have if you will put God first in your heart and in your life. We see this demonstrated here with the Hebrews journeying into the unknown. We stand at the edge of 2026, and it is certainly unknown what will come. Things are always going to be crazy. There will never come a time where the world does not have craziness in it. So today, as we start this first Sunday of the year, as we start anew, as we journey into the unknown, with Joshua and the Hebrews, we can say too, we have not passed this way heretofore. There's nobody in this room that has lived through 2026 before. In following God into what we call the unknown, but it's known to Him, there are some things that I want you to take with you, and I'd like to share them with you now. Here they are. See, some of you thought, man, he done preached his whole message. We almost done. Oh, no, that's just the warm-up. I'm a distance runner. Praise God, the mile is just the warm-up. Amen? And it's the one that hurts the most. But once you get past that first mile, mile 2 through 26 are good. Amen? Somebody say amen right there. Here's the first thing I want to give you, to carry with you in the new year. The Bible must have a place in your life. You hear a lot of harping from Pastor Josh about studying your Bible, reading through the Bible. I remember hearing a story years ago that Dr. David Gibbs told. He is the founder of the Christian Law Association, and he was talking about, he was in a courtroom, and there was a pastor that was in a church that was on trial, and the pastor was sitting there, and he was in, I guess, under interrogation, under question in the courtroom, and the opposite attorney asked the pastor, said, do you believe the Bible? And of course the pastor said, yes, absolutely, I believe the Bible. And he said, you believe the Bible to be the final authority for faith and practice in your life, because that's what we claim, amen, that the Bible is our final authority. And he said, yes, sir, I believe that. And he asked him, he said, well, you believe all the stories of the Bible, correct? You believe that the story of David and Goliath and the story of Noah and the ark, and you believe how that Moses led the Hebrew children out of Egypt and they went over into the promised land. You believe all of those stories. And he said, yes. He said, and finally, you believe in the cross. You believe that Jesus died on the cross. He said, yes, I believe that. And the prosecutor went through and asked him all of these different questions about the Bible and what he believed. And the final thing that he sealed it up with was, have you read the Bible through? And it was a lot like just now. Silent. How can we say that we believe a book is the final authority for our faith and practice, and yet we know more of what's happening on Facebook than what we do in God's book? We know more about what's going on social media, what's happening at the news channel. See, I don't think that the Bible governs our life as much as we would like to pretend that it does. It's fancy to pretend it governs our life when we're in here on Sunday morning and everything's great and everybody's in one mind and one accord. But when you're standing around the water cooler, or when you're tempted to tell the dirty joke at work, or when you want to have a cussing fit because things don't go your way, what really governs your life and your faith and your practice in your life? It must be the Bible, church. You can't allow what Brother Josh has to say. My words will fail you. But the Bible will not fail. So you must take the Word of God with you. Psalm 119, verse 105, as you journey into the unknown, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This book helps you meet the toils and the dangers and then overcome the temptations of life. 2 Peter 1 and verse number 19 says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. It is a safe book to live by. It is a sweet book to die by. And you can build your life on the Bible and the principles that are taught therein. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? by taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. The word of God will keep you clean. The word of God will keep you clean. Oh, preacher, I'm dirty. I've been out in the world. I can't tell you how many times I've had people call me or come to me and they're seeking counsel and seeking talk, and they'll say, preacher, you just don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've participated in. You're absolutely right. I don't know, but I know that there's a loving Savior. Amen. I don't know what you've done. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you've participated in, but I know that there is a God in heaven, the same God that Daniel knew, and the same God that delivered the Hebrews, and the same God that delivered all of these people throughout the Word of God. He recorded it in the Word of God so that when the trials and the temptations and the difficulties of life come our way, you and I can go to this blessed old book and we can find direction in our life rather than finding confusion. She's talking about Job a little while ago. Job had some friends. They were his friends, but he called them miserable comforters. One friend, he sounded real spiritual. He said, and I saw a spirit pass before my face. Don't go to your buddies for spiritual guidance. Go to the book. Go to somebody that cares and watches over your soul. Go to them and say, I need some spiritual guidance. I need some spiritual help. I need you to point me in the Word of God. The Word of God is the final authority. And it is a must in your life going into 2026 to keep you clean, to keep you right. James chapter 1, these four verses here, verses 21 through 25 said, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You start reading the Bible, and it's going to start getting a little bit more of you. You start reading those words and you will come across a time where, as we talked about last Sunday, it will arrest your attention. And you'll say, man, I didn't know that was in there. I had no idea that God answered a question. You may be fighting a great spiritual battle this morning and you haven't read your Bible. I want to encourage you, child of God, there is help in there for what you need. The Bible is a must as you go into 2026. Here's another thing. Praise God, it's only 11:56. Y'all still upset about technology? I got an iPad up here. You will need prayer. You will need prayer. You and I can never have a close walk with the Lord if we never communicate with Him. I liken this a lot of times to my marriage. There's one thing that I have learned in marriage. In August, we will hit 25 years. She's put up with me for 25 years. Amen. Quarter of a century. She's dealt with me. Bless her heart. You're right. And I have learned that if her and I do not communicate, we don't have much of a relationship. If we don't talk, sometimes you have to have a hard conversation. Things you don't want to talk about. Things you don't want to bring up. But if you bring them up, it'll develop your relationship more. I've also learned that I can't hide anything from her. I do good to hide Christmas presents. Here's what happens at Christmas time around my house. We'll buy somebody, or one of us will buy something for the other, and we'll say, man, I got you a present. And my wife will say, "What is it?" And I'll say, "It's a present." And a few hours will go by, and I'll go in there wherever she's at, or I'll find her, and I'll say, "Hey, you want that present?" And she'll say, "No, it's not Christmas yet." I'll say, "Well, I can get you something else." And I give it to her. And she opens it, and Brother Daniel, she's so gracious, she acts surprised. The woman has access 24/7 to our bank account. She knows every dime that goes out of our bank account and where it's spent at and what you can buy there. And Brother Dorsey, she still acts surprised. If her and I didn't communicate, we wouldn't know what each other wanted. If her and I didn't communicate, we wouldn't understand the intricacies of our lives or the details that go into our life each and every day. Communication is key in a relationship. And if you shut down communication, you shut down a relationship. Christian, why is it that you believe that God will bless you and you've not spent any time praying to Him this week? I just don't get nothing out of church. Did you pray for it? Preacher, I tried to read my Bible. I just don't get anything out of it. All the these and the thous and the yous and the yees and the yeas. I don't know what to do there. Did you pray about it? Did you ask God to give you something? No. Did you seek spiritual help from on high and say, "Lord, I need you, have a prayer"? Did you know that the prayer doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out prayer? You don't have to impress God with your much speech. You don't have to impress God with how much you know about the Bible already. He knows what you are. He understands your frame, and He sees that you're just dust and that you're not much. He understands that. He just wants you to talk with Him. Have a conversation with Him. Luke 18:1 said, "Men ought always to pray and not to faint." Psalm 55:16-17 says, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice." Philippians 4:6, "Be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God." Ephesians 6:18, we talk much about putting on the armor of God and being ready to take on the devil and the wiles of Satan and all of these things. And yet the thing that ties all of the armor together is found in verse number 18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." And then 1 Thessalonians 5:17 simply says, "Pray without ceasing." You need prayer. Not that you need somebody to pray for you. You need to learn how to pray. We've created a whole generation of people who know Bible stories and I believe don't know the power of God in their own life because they've never seen God answer a prayer. I want you to pick the most difficult thing in your life. Make a deal with me. Make a deal with God. Pick the most difficult area in your life right now. Think of it. Pray about it. 1 week. Pray about it for 1 week. Pray earnestly and sincerely for 1 week. And let God work in your heart and in your life. You need prayer. We got a 3-point Baptist message. Amen. Live a life consecrated to God. 1 Peter 1, verses 13 through 16, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober." Be sober. Be sober. Be sober. Be sober. Be sober. That I'm not just talking about alcohol. I'm not talking about drugs. I'm talking about having clarity of thought. Sober-minded. Be sober. and hope to the end of the for this grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he hath, which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. There are many, church, who will never open the cover of the Word of God, but they will read your life every single day. And they're reading the gospel according to you. Sometimes I wonder. And the Lord sends little confirmations to you, and I wonder about my own life, and I think, Lord, am I living? Am I really living it? The other night I was sitting on the couch, and the kids had, some of them was in their room, some of them, I don't know where they were. I'm the dad, y'all know that, right? They were at the house, and they were not in danger. And so, my phone rings. It's somebody I know, acquaintance of mine, friend. Never's called me before. He talks to me, and he asks me about Georgia Bulldogs and what happened to them. And I don't know why he wanted to call and hurt my feelings like that. But he called and talked for just a moment. And then his voice broke. And he said, preacher, the real reason I called is because something's going on in my family and I don't know how to fix it. And I'm heartbroken and I'm hurting. I didn't ask him what was going on. Somebody say amen right there. I didn't make him divulge everything that he had ever done in his life to me because I can't get him right with God. That's something between him and the Lord. But I did listen to him for a moment, and I prayed with him before I let him go. This man had no reason to call me other than he just needed to talk to. There are people who will read your life every single day that will not darken the doorway of the church. And will not crack open the cover of the Bible. But they need Christians to live consecrated to the Lord. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Titus 2, 11 and 12, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. As you journey into the unknown, the Bible needs a greater place in your life. Prayer should take precedence, and your life should be consecrated unto God, set apart to Him. Father, in Jesus' holy name, I come to you, Lord, asking you to move this morning. You've heard this message. You know what I've preached. Lord, you know my life inside and out.